There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. On this Monday, easy to get in touch with the show as well. The text line and the phone line, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Coming up in hour number two, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. We'll talk several stories with him, but the you probably heard this discussion this morning. Mobile Data Center and the money. We're just talking about the money. You know, it's either for the kids or for the money, right? That's like most things you could pay. This one's for the money. So we'll talk about that with John and a couple other stories as well. I heard April Marie talk about the vaccine skepticism story for measles cases. Kind of interesting. We'll bounce that back and forth at 251-343-0106. Plus, I guess we're on hold right now. So we can't call it a ceasefire, but on hold right now. With the Iran war, we'll get on that in just a little bit. Plus, another week, another big sewage overflow. Well, maybe not big compared to some of the ones, but enough that makes you go, ugh. So we'll get to that. But I want to start off with this and kind of explain explain what's happening here. It interesting, too, because I'm getting texts from other family members about, I think, a scam. This is, you know, nothing ever happens. Well, tons of stuff happens. But between noon and two, my phone goes nuts with fixing problems for family members out there. But maybe it's a Monday. I guess, what does a scammer do? A scammer gets up. Do they get up? I wonder about that. Do they get up and get a cup of coffee? Maybe they probably work from home. Although, you know, remember we talked about the scammers coming out of Russia and they had those big... like buildings, like warehouses where they're trying to, you know, I've just pictured the idea of going and clocking in. What are you on? I'm on first shift this week. Y'all are on third. All that stinks. You know, going into the scam factory and just dialing, trying to rip people off. Stuff happens all the time. But it was interesting today. And we could talk about it through this hour, how these scams are proliferated and who they target. Probably didn't target the right person today. So my phone rings and it's a private number. I don't answer. If I don't know the number, if I don't know your number, I don't answer. You leave a message or a text. It rings from a private number. I'm sitting in Dan and Dalton's office and not going to answer it. We're talking about, you know, important stuff. I'm kidding. It's always important stuff. So, and then it calls right back from private number. And I guess I'm going to tell you all the secret here, which is, you know, if you call twice, even if I know you, if like, you know, and most of the time that I'm not here, y'all, I'm doing something. I have to explain to people all the time, like, I will get back to you, but, you know, I am, you know, somewhere I can't stop and take phone calls once I get home. Just doing different things, I will get to you. But if you call twice, that's my signal for, you know, if somebody doesn't text me or whatever. You call, and then you call right back. That's the code. If mother calls and then calls right back, then that's because she's not going to text. I will always pick up. That's the bat phone signal. So this private number calls me. I don't take it. And it calls right back. So, you know, your brain gets to go. And this is how they get. Your brain gets to go. What could be going on? What's wrong? There's a problem, right? You get that. There's a problem. The private number called me twice. I might have just missed something here. I need to pick up. So I did. And you're going to hear the majority of the phone call. Didn't get the beginning, but my trick was the person started talking, and I let them go for a little bit, and I said, hey, I didn't get all that. Can you repeat it? So this is, if you're ever trying to do this recording thing, I said, just give me a second here. You know, acted like I was confused or whatever. Can you say that again? I was running around because we work in a business that's chock full of microphones and recording equipment. But Dalton, fast as he could be, grabs his phone, hits the recording feature, and put my phone on speaker. And so this is that sheriff's department not showing up for court scam that makes the news all the time. But I think it's, in this case, lucky that Dalton was quick and, you know, we had the method to get the recording done to let people hear this call. We miss a little bit in the beginning of it, but we got the bulk of it. So I'm going to play that now so you hear it. And this is something you could, you know, even go back because this will be in our podcast, you know, our podcast post after the shows are done, and you can get them through the app. You can get them on our website, anywhere you subscribe for podcasts. Make sure to subscribe to FM Talk 106.5. And you can get this show, and you can scroll to this point in the show, or you could cut it out however you want to. Share this with friends and family so they can hear how this goes on. Because you can tell people there's a scam going on, but, and this has happened to family members of mine, they're always, you know, I tell them if the person on the other end of the phone is using fear or greed, you should have red flags up, right? Those are the things that are going to motivate. Fear of something happening to you, or, oh, here's something you can get that you didn't earn. Those are always the tricks. So the call went this way. So this is supposedly, I guess, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, which it is not, but that's who they're posing as calling me. Let's go ahead and hit cut one.
We have federal documentation here that was delivered to a resident, sir, a 325 drive. Now, due to the fact that that federal docket was sent to that resident and signed with the signature on there and sent back to the clerk in court here stating that you will appear to be to a penal selection. Are you aware in this what's going on here, sir? Because I do see in the system it's showing a failure to appear in a contempt of court.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't live at that address.
Okay, sir, I do just see that currently at this moment in the system here, sir, it's just stating that you were scheduled to appear to court and it was dealing with a witness expert, sir.
You give me more details. Maybe you spark my memory here.
Okay, sir. Now, what I have, you state that you do not live at that resident. That's correct, sir?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, I mean, you're with the sheriff's department. Y'all have all my information. I mean, you have my concealed carry permit, all my stuff. So tell me, where do I live?
Okay, sir. I do see that right here. That let me see here,
yeah,
sir.
I don't live there.
Okay, you're stating that, okay, sir, I can go over those resident. I do have.
No, I don't live there. I mean, what you're doing is you're going through a file looking any place I've ever owned is what you're doing, and you're missing every time.
Okay, sir, you asked me to go over here, sir. I'm just simply.
Hey, can you get Lori on the phone for me?
You, sir?
Can you get Lori on the phone for me?
Yes, sir. I will absolutely do that, sir.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. You're talking about my captain, sir.
No, that's not your captain. So, Lori.
Bye.
So then the hang up right there. So, and we go back through it. And yeah, like the texture, not a sheriff's department. Yeah, sheriff's, it's the office, right? That's why the O's on the name. But that's what it sounds like. And, you know, to people that don't have a, I can say cynic, a skeptic DNA makeup, they may think, well, they got this information. It must be real. It ain't real, y'all. All right, coming right back. I got a lot of text from y'all to talk about.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106, inviting all scam calls to let me know that y'all are going to pick me up. And so it's going on right now. I just got a call from somebody else. And so maybe it's our turn on the Rolodex there. It's, once again, if there is fear or there is greed involved and there's a sense of immediacy, you got to do it right now. Right now. It's baloney. It's, you know, so, all right. Chad says, not only is it Scam Buster Day for you, Sean, it's National Chicken Finger Day. Very important celebration, not to be confused with National Chicken Wing Day, which is Wednesday. Chad, this is a heck of a week. I like both the fingers and the wings. Scorverine said, remember West Telemarketing in Mobile? I know from experience that was a legitimate scam factory. So that's, okay, so that's kind of the thing I don't know. I just let my mind wander. If you're a scammer, you get up and have that coffee. Ah, I got to get to work. It's Monday. Yeah, I got to get up. It's a Monday. It's time to go to work to scam people. Got to do that. It's like, or do you do it from or do you go into the factory like, yeah, I'm on first shift this week, man. Heck yeah, I was on third. I just worked off, you know. Killer B says, just imagine the scam calls coming from all the new data centers. Eh, I don't think they do it that way. They'll think that's out of the fears discussions. I don't think data centers are, now call centers are a different thing. Yeah, this is, yes, yeah, I'm the one that always calls you out on this, couldn't resist this time. Oh yeah, Sheriff's Department versus Sheriff's Office. It is the Sheriff's Office. I'd like, you know, the fun thing too, is you could ask for like badge numbers and stuff. They're ready for that kind of stuff. But what you got to do, if you're in Baldwin County, you know your Baldwin County stuff, and your Mobile County, you know that stuff, just have something in your mind that you know that local folks would all know at that department, whatever it is, whatever police department they say they're with, sheriff's department they say they're with, they all work here. You know, I mean, sheriff's departments are locally owned. By we the people, but I mean, they're homeboys and homegirls, right? Now, do I have a little more insight? Do I know people's names? Ask, sure. But you can find your own questions to ask these people, and you hear as soon as I ask the question, and then they have a, you know, they go to the flow chart. Here's my answer for this. And I say, no, it's not. They hang up. B-Dark says, Sean, the only time I get a private number calling is the sheriff's department asking if they can come up to the gate. I don't answer. They leave a message. Maxima said, yeah, I sent that $2,000 to the Nigerian prince to send me a check. Must be stuck in the mail. That's almost as bad as calling senior citizens to pay power bills with Amazon cards. Listen, this, and you've heard me rant about this before. Maxima, you know me. You know I have that older member of my family that I am... protective is a understatement of that person, right? And they come in, the calls come in. When you're at that person's house, the phones ring because that person has a cell phone and the house phone, of course, has a house phone. It just rings and rings and rings. And they feel compelled because they're not dumb. There's ignorance. They're not dumb. They're smart people. But they're ignorant and they're not savvy. And the old days, remember, I mean, they lived a long time, even before answer machines. Think about how we made it through. I don't know. If somebody's calling, I better answer the phone. Everybody want to fill this in? It could be, yeah, you got it, important. I got to answer it because it could be important. It's probably, if they'll tell you, it's probably not important, but I got to answer it because it could be important. And they pick it up, and then here goes the fear and the immediacy. Something bad is happening. You know, we went through the scam. I had parents years ago. A nephew of mine lives out of state. They did the old, got your nephew here, caused a horrible accident. We have to have money for him, right? I forget what they said, for his bail or whatever. When they would ask the question that most people are like, well, put him on the phone. Well, he can't talk because his jaw was broken in this accident. So they had somebody over there going, bah, 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 bah. But the fear and their love for their grandson motivated them. And to the point, the call went on long enough and so in depth, I got a call from another family member, left here at the radio station, traveled to their house, and came in the house so the person on the other end of the phone could hear saying, this is, well, I'll say it, baloney. Hang up the phone, baloney. And to look at their eyes, they couldn't let go of the phone because the fear of what had happened to somebody they loved held them. So in this case, it wasn't fear for yourself, but even more to figure out, we got grandparents here. Grandparents will do anything for their kids, and grandparents aren't savvy to the baloney out there. And they're not even savvy to their children's baloney sometimes, you know, grandchildren's baloney. I mean, that's why grandkids can get away with, you know, anything. So I played that call, and just lucky to get it recorded. I know a lot of people get these calls, but we just had the time to record it and let you know what it kind of sounded like. So hopefully it could be a service there. You could take that call, and we can play it again. You can get it recorded. You can get it from our podcast and share it with those family members. Let them hear how it goes. Let hear what they say. How looks, you know, I'm looking through the, almost need the paper rustling sound. I'm looking through here, and you lived at such and such. So what they did is they went through, obviously they pulled property records, and all the places they listed, I have owned. I don't live there. That's why I asked, I said, you know, if you're the sheriff's department, you have my concealed carry permit, which, by the way, don't get the lifetime because all that money goes to Montgomery. Get the 1 or the 5 year because some of the money stays here. And so you've got my concealed carry permit. You would have my address, right? You know where I live? Couldn't do that. Right. Keith says, you're very smart. Most people would say, oh, no, I live at whatever. Then he feeds on that. Oh, I see that right here. That was world class when you asked to speak to Lori. He was pretty good to say, okay, I can do that so quickly. That's the world we live in. Right. So, Keith, when he responds with confidence, because he is a con man, when he responds with confidence, like, sure, that a lot of people would say, well, if they're that quick to tell me they can do it, that must mean it's true. But you ask a follow-up and a follow-up, and then they get into the corner, and then what do? They hang up. A named texter here says, should ask for payment details, then give it to the sheriff and put a tracker on the money and bust them. That'd be great. But they're probably onto that too in the time period that, because they often do this thing where they say, hey, you got to do this right now. You can't get off the phone. You can't call anybody else. Now, I do like what you're saying. I mean, I'd love to bust them, but they're not going to do anything. Here's the problem, too. We've had the folks on this show from the FBI talking about it, the Sheriff's Department talking about it. They want the information. You should pass along the information. I did the same thing. Pass along to Mobile County Sheriff's Office. But often, it's tough for them to get the people. They're not in the country, or the layers of the onion you have to pull back to figure out who they are and where they are good. So what I think we do is we do that part. You pursue them. You do all that. At the same time, we just share this information. So take that person in your family that needs to hear this. Play the clip. Say, listen how the person seemed very believable. Had information, which, you know, any of us are even somewhat savvy. You can find that out immediately on the web. Even if you haven't been part of a data breach, which I think I have. I think I get an email every month. Hey, your information was shared. All right, hey, coming right back. 251-343-0106. News is next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll play. Okay, people asking for the call. I'll play the call again. But reminder here, too, you can take this from the podcast. By the way, fastest place to get the podcast is the FM Talk 106.5 app. It is not a scam. It's a real thing. If you go to, if you're an iPhone user, go to App Store. If you're a hip Android user like me, go to Google Play. Either place, just look for FM Talk 106.5, just FMTALK 106.5. You'll see our app. Download it. It's got all kind of cool stuff on there. But it's the first place for some reason that our podcast posts. If not, you can go to the good old-fashioned website, FMTalk1065.com, and click the link for podcast there or anywhere you subscribe. But yes, share that part that I played. That it's like a two-minute, and we're going to play it again, 2-minute and 7-second call. And to play that for family members, let them hear how it goes, how the hustle goes. Because, how about this? In that first half hour, I was, during the news breaks, texting while I was talking to y'all, and during the news breaks, talking to another family member who got the same call. So obviously they just got to the Sullivans in the Rolodex, or, you know, we've been, you get umpteen data breaches out there, whatever. And it's the fear. And they're waiting for the fear to take hold. And when fear takes hold, you don't make the most logical decisions. Get some of your texts here, and then we'll play the call again because folks want to hear it again. Okay. Supermom said, scammers almost got my dad. They said his granddaughter got a DUI. My dad then said one of his granddaughter's names, so the scammer kept saying that name. Luckily, my sister arrived at her dad's house by chance and took over. My dad just sat there and cried when it was all over. He's 88. Supermom, those details are very close to what happened to my family. And I think that's right, because he was supposedly my nephew was in this wreck. He was drunk. He killed the people. He had the broken jaw. That's why he couldn't talk. And I'm sure before I got there, they gave the name. Right? I mean, these people are trained that they gave the name. But the hurt, I mean, any of these people, I want to put a foot so far up their backside that it comes out their mouth. But to watch the pain, like you're just saying, watch the pain for your father, was the same with my parents. Just enrages me. CB Carl. Hey, Sean, does the FCC allow bovine scat? It just strikes me as the BS you're most familiar with. Yes, it's bovine scat, I can say. Rick said, Sean, I keep hearing that John Wall did something against veterans. I'm not sure what was done. Would you be able to enlighten me? I don't know exactly what they're... I have to go back, Rick. I don't know at this point. I have to see what they're talking about. It was in an ad or something. Please send me a link if you can. I'll try to go through that. Michael said, the LandGlide app and the Secretary of State's website will let you find out a ton of information just by searching the map. You can't even hide behind LLCs. Yeah, it's, LandGlide, there's others. I mean, there's an app I use that early on, it's like it was originally marketed to hunters, that when I use it, it's not as amazing now, but with friends, they say, well, I wonder, you know, who's there? I'm like, well, that property is owned by so-and-so, and that house is owned by so-and-so, but it's not completely owned by them. It's 50-50, and they're like, how do you find this stuff out? It's easy. I got an app. So, I mean, you just got to realize the world we live in now. Let's see, Nick B said, a scam, Microsoft scam got my 81-year-old mother-in-law. She was minutes away from literally losing millions. Yeah, that happened. I don't know how close we were, because we also only had like $176 in the bank account, but somebody used to work here was on one of those and was about to hand over a bunch of information, banking information, until I had to run back to that person's office and say stop and hang up the phone. Buford. What's up, Buford? So just wait till AI is used and your loved one's voice, and it's your loved one's voice calling with a terrible emergency needing money. Okay, Buford, have you seen we talked about the story on the show. It's been some years ago. And that's what Buford said is right. You also have to steel yourself to being to the chance of hearing that voice. One thing, I forget who it was, had texted me before, and it's something we've instituted in our family, is a code, something that would be unknowable in online records or something like that. You have a question like that you can ask. But Buford, there's a case, and I don't, maybe I'll put the Google machine on it here during the news break, but it was a story from, I'm going to say, Arizona, New Mexico, out there. I think maybe Arizona. And this, I remember talking about this at length. Maybe we even played some of the audio. This family gets a call that their daughter's been kidnapped. You don't think about that. And it's her voice pleading with the parents to pay the ransom. But it was generated by using clips. So she was, I think she was a skier, like a varsity skier in high school. So obviously somewhere close to the mountains. And there were enough clips of her. And I've told my family, I've said, if I call you, I mean, there's, you know, thousands upon thousands of hours of my voice. So it can be, if you get a call from me, just check. It may not be me. But this person, this young person, this young lady, had it done enough interviews, like, you know, a local TV station, like so-and-so won the, you know, the downhill or whatever it is, that they had enough audio to, and not piece together. I've for long been able to, you know, take your voice. I can sit with the audio editor and make you say all kind of stuff. In the early days of doing that, we thought that was pretty funny. We never, I mean, never put it over the air, but we're like, oh, I've made so-and-so say this and that. Yuck, 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 get back to work. But now it's obviously way more robust, and it's not like cut and splice words together. But this family had their daughter's voice calling them saying she'd been kidnapped. The scammers had them locked on the phone, told them they weren't allowed to get off the phone. Right? That's a common player. You can't get off the phone. You got to stay on. We have to make contact. We have to keep constant contact. We can't let you off the phone. And I think as one of the family members, and the kids were off at like a ski competition or something to that effect. This is all coming from the gray synapses that sometimes fire in my brain. And so she was unreachable. She didn't have her phone or whatever, but somebody in the family figured out to call whoever the chaperone would be, or the, you know, the person who was taking the kids, you know, the person who tells everybody shut up on the school bus as you're going to whatever, you know, football game, golf tournament, whatever. Contacted them, and while the parents were on the phone with these dirtbags, and the counselor or the, you know, whatever, the chaperone of the trip said, no, I'm looking at her right now. She's, you know, doing whatever. And got that word back to the parents, which is a horrible story. So that was years ago. Years ago. And it's still, so they had that enough technology. So here in 2026, have no, don't believe anything. You know, like I talk to certain family members, I say, use the Napoleonic code. Like, we remember learning that early on. Like, yeah, you've got our system, right? You are innocent till proven guilty. Napoleonic code, you're guilty till proven innocent. I said, use Napoleonic code. Think about little Napoleon with his hand in his jacket every time one of those calls, and assume everything. I know y'all all know this, but this is what we have to be prophets. We have to get out and preach this word to our loved ones, that everything should be guilty till proven innocent. Everything is, as C.B. Carl said, bovine scat until proven something else. Everything. And in today's world right now, if, you know, like Buford said, the AI or other programs that really were in existence before AI could take, if there's enough recorded audio, somebody's voice, they can absolutely, and not just like a sound pad. I could have a sound pad in here where I can play, you say this word, and you believe, or I could edit. I'm talking about one that generates a conversation. So just be oh so careful and oh so cynical. I don't know. Southern Jedi thinks our family code is video killed the radio star. Great song from the Buggles, which was playing. We went bowling Saturday night, And they must, you know, at the bowling alley, flashback to the 1980s, and the music playing was 80s music. I dug it. And yeah, I remember pointing out, I said, y'all listen, over the sound of, you know, the restacked pins and all that stuff. Like, they're playing the Buggles. Nick B. says, we have a safe word that has been shared with only our direct family. It's never been spoken, only written down and shared amongst ourselves. This way, if any sort of scam like this were ever to happen, the scammer has to be able to reduce this safe word, or maybe produce this safe word. Otherwise, we know it's a scam. So. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool work. Oh. Wow. Okay. I just got something from Jim. I like that. All right, coming back, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Let's check in with Professor Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Fresh week to work with. What's happening in the world of precious metals?
Gold and silver and platinum, palladium, everything's treading up. Platinum is doing the best of all. It's up about $97 at $16.50. Palladium is just hunkering along because more and more of the manufacturers are switching over to platinum is for catalytic converters, so it's really helping the platinum market out. And, of course, there's a pause in bombing, Sean, so everything did have an increase today.
Yeah, the ceasefire of a ceasefire of a, I don't know, not ceasefire. But you've said this before, which is a real learning experience, like so many times I've talked to you, that I would have thought when this all popped off that the precious metal prices would rise. But you said, in fact, it works contrary when we have a you know, war or, you know, an action like this.
Yes, when we were both younger, Sean, it did used to rise. Everybody would rush to precious metals during a conflict. And then as it became more of a world market versus localized markets, it really, inversely, more larger banks now get involved with buying and selling of precious metals. And they're not really buying the actual metals. They're just buying electronically traded funds, but it still affects the spot price. So since they started selling during conflicts, it's really changed the game, and now the things drop.
That's how you get the education at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Also, we talked about the other day, some of the denominations, like, you know, we think about how much, you know, gold has risen. If I can't come and buy a big gold bar from you, what other sizes do you have?
Everything from a half gram up, Sean. So, I mean, a lot of people buy the grams, and of course, there's a higher premium on the smaller bars and things of that nature. But it's all relevant. When it comes time to sell, we'll pay more for those as long as you leave them in their assay card where they're sealed. And you can always come in and trade. We have people save them up until they have 31 of them. They'll come in and trade and then get a little money back and get an ounce of gold.
Good stuff. Tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there it goes. And yeah, go see them. And we'll get to we'll get to it in a second here. I mean, the couple things with the ceasefire, the pause, whatever we're in right now with Iran. You know, they've got, speaking of gold too, Iran, I guess, had a lot of gold stashed away. Read about that. But they made some money during the ceasefire pause and opening the, you know, we let their ports open. Stat came in. Iran sold about $11.5 billion worth of oil. That was, I guess, and then another first ceasefire, $11.5 billion during the war, and another $6.5 billion during the subsequent ceasefire. That's it. Now that's coming from the Iranians. But two things, obviously big cash inflow to Iran to continue. But the other part of this is, remember a month or so ago talking to my buddy Jonathan McConnell about this and said, hey, they're going to be in a pickle because they can't export and they only have so many areas to store the oil. And what happens when you do, you can't, shutting down. And we had talked, you know, we talked about this with Jay Young too from King Operating out in Texas, that you, it's what a big deal it is to shut and cap off a production platform. So they fill up everything they have to store and then they're really in a pickle. Because, you know, the process of shutting that well down, it's not like you can, I didn't know until I talked to these guys, you can't just turn the off switch, you know, close that valve. So not only did they make that money, but they freed up storage space on it too. So we'll go into that. And also, all the talk about Mamdani's going to arrest Netanyahu. Like, there's so many reasons. First of all, mayors don't have arrest power. Okay, that's not in the purview of the mayor. The United States doesn't recognize, we're not a member of the ICC. Mayor doesn't get to arrest. We're not a member of the ICC. And number three, he's coming in diplomatically. Like, for the United Nations, you can't arrest him there. But we can visit that here in just a second. All right, to the text line. And Ella said, Sean, you're smart to have a family code word or phrase. Every family should do that. Create one, but discuss it outside, away from all connected devices. Not a bad idea. Named texture said, best and funniest safe word is meatloaf, because I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. let's see. A named texture said, as far as protecting yourself from contractor scamming, make sure you get a business license and COI, which is a certificate of insurance for that contractor. Tell the contractor that it is to be doing the work to get insurance company, not them, to send you the COI. Okay, that's interesting. So that we're learning here. Say, no, I don't need it from you. Have your insurance company send it. There's been a lot of forgeries of COIs for contractors. Always check with the insurance of the COI company before having work done. Just because you have a license doesn't mean you have insurance. Always remember CYA. I was taught that from an early age, but thank you. I mean, I wouldn't have known the subtlety. That's important what this texture said. Don't let them show you the COI. Get the name of the insurance company and have them send you the COI. And yes, as always, cover your backside. Michael says, heck, AI is even making up fake proof of life pictures nowadays for the Turtle Man senator. So did you see those are the ones that could get you. This one's also ridiculous with him in the turtle costume. But have you seen the videos they put out with Mitch McConnell dancing and all that? That's the danger. Those aren't dangerous. The more ridiculous it is, it's pretty funny. You know, if you use AI to create a satire of somebody and it's really, you know, over the top satire, I think it's a great use of satire. It's funny. The ones where it's a little more believable and scary, like the voice of your child calling you saying they've been abducted and then the supposed kidnappers get on the phone asking for money. It's a whole different story. Michael went on to say, also talking about the mayor not having arrest powers made me think of Gomer Pyle. Citizens arrest. Citizens arrest. Yes, classic. But the Mamdani thing, I think this is good for Democrats, socialists, you all cheer for it, but it doesn't work. Unless I'm missing something. So the ICC, the International Criminal Court, put out the arrest warrant, right? Although that may be a scam too. Hi, this is the International Criminal Court. We have your arrest record, but you can pay us. So the ICC has put this out. And listen, there's a lot of the discussion of what happened in Gaza with Israel is we could discuss, but let's just talk facts here. United States is not a member of the ICC. Mamdani is inside the United States. But the city, like New York Police Department, the mayor, they can't arrest. I mean, remember when he was running for office, Mamdani said he was going to have the NYPD get Netanyahu if he visited the city. Well, he's just making that up. It's just kind of like politicians do. They say all these things are going to do. So that, and then on top of that, when I didn't hear discussed, maybe it has been discussed somewhere else. If he's coming to the UN, like we have some people show up at the UN that should be, have a net thrown over them, right? And we get them from there. But you can't do that. You get the protections. So all the hubbub about Mamdani's going to have Netanyahu arrested is just hubbub. Not anything actually factual there. CB Carl, how do we win a damned war if we didn't vote for that we didn't vote for by letting them rebuild their bank accounts so they can buy more weapons from China and Russia? I don't know. CB Carl, I'm still wondering that. You get that figured out. Let me know.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And I appreciate all the folks with their safe word texting it in. Y'all, just what we talked about earlier in the hour, if you didn't catch it, maybe in the second half of this hour, we can play the call again. So scam call, we just got lucky to record this one and air it. But something we were talking about is having, especially in today's world where they can, I mean, like we talked about 4 years ago, there was a story where they're already doing this. They used a young lady out in, I think, Arizona, her voice, because she had been on TV news, she was a skier or whatever, to make, not just like cut and paste, but made her talking and called the family and said she had been kidnapped. It's a horrible story. They figured out it was a scam hours into it. But the way to safeguard your families, and somebody had texted this years ago and it's spot on, is to have something that the family knows nobody else does. Something's not online. Something, you know, it could be a question. It could just be a word. Something that isn't, like somebody said, don't make sure your devices aren't nearby listening when you say, so just have this phrase and word just, you know, and say, hey, y'all, everybody remembers this. This is, y'all know what this is, right? Everybody nod. Hey, teenagers falling off asleep, wake up. You remember the word? Nod, yes. And keep that. And that is just a low-tech security to protect against what's going to be, I don't think this is getting any better in the scam world out there. So, all right, without further ado, let's bring on my friend and the man over at AL.com, award-winning journalist, I would say about to go full pro pickleball player, and Boy Scout extraordinaire, John Sharp. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good. We were talking about this during the break, or during the news break, and I'll send you that call. If you didn't get to hear it, I'll send you the call. Those things, like a regular scam like that, that uses fear or greed, right? I always use those. I talk to family members. I said, if it's fear and it's got to happen right now, or it's greed and it's got to happen right now, it's a scam. But one that dang near got me, and I'm pretty good. I'm, you know, pretty good at avoiding stuff. I sniff out stuff pretty quickly. But this happened last week, and I've got, no, 2 weeks ago, over on Twitter in the chat area, I started getting from two people that would have, it would be believable. That's what's also interesting. It would be believable that this could happen. And these two people supposedly sent me a message and it said, hey, y'all go back. And so this is a heads up. If you look at Twitter, it said, hey, quick favor, I'm in the running to co-host a major podcast event with Spotify and Google. And then there's a microphone icon. How cutesy. If you can drop a vote for me, I'd really appreciate it. And then they got a link there. And the link, you click the link, And it says has podcast in the name. Oh, wow, that makes it official. So you click the link, and then it wants you to be able to vote. You have to use your, it's like a, they pretend it's like a Google Docs thing. You have to use your Google ID, your password, to get into it. Only thing that protected me, and the show's all about being honest here, the only thing that protected me from goofing there, y'all, is I don't remember mine. It's not in the autofill, so that saved me. But Dalton said he got these as well. So y'all just, if you go back through your Twitter on that, and it maybe happens on other platforms, that's just where I saw it. It even came close. Only my non-knowledge of my Google password saved me. So, John, just be aware of that, okay?
Well, yes, I guess. We received one as well, and I deleted
from a buddy.
It. But apparently, from a buddy, but apparently someone claims that this one was spurted out of my...
your account as well.
My account as well. So if you get somebody gets it from my account, delete it. That's all I can say. Ignore it. It's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, if you got
one
from
maybe I,
John,
I
he is not
$8 for a check mark. So
you're not. So you're not in the running to co-host a major podcast event.
No. That would not be me. No. I'm good.
Yeah. Just checking.
I don't need to add that to the roster of things to do. So.
No, that's correct. All right. A lot to talk about with you. Of course, one of these, you know, you and I talk about the greatest hits. We have greatest hits. The bridge is a greatest hit. The train was a greatest hit. Things that John and I have talked about for a decade. I think this is going to be one of our new records that we're playing a lot, and that is data centers. Anything to do with data centers or data centers, however you want to call it, because it seems to dominate conversation. I get it. But until I read your story over at AL.com, I knew it would be good. I mean, I had Commissioner do it in. He talked about it could be good. But nobody gave me numbers like you did in this story. How much money it could mean for Mobile County?
Yes, a lot.
A lot.
We're talking, yes. Well, we're talking about a $6 billion investment. Think about it. That's bigger than the bridge.
Yeah.
But that is that's
you know, that's true. Holy cow. You know what it takes, John? So the latest total, I don't know, it's always moving. We had like 3.2 or 3.4 billion for the bridge.
Yeah, but when you take the, yeah, that's correct.
So it's like twice the bridge.
right. But when you take the bridge and the Bayway together, which is supposed to be upwards of $5 billion, it may be a close race between this data center and the true cost of the bridge and Bayway. Now, two-phase project. But at any rate, let's get back to Beacon okay. Data Centers. Yes, it's $6 billion. They even said it could be up to $8 billion project. That's huge. No tax incentives. There's the key thing there, no tax incentives. Unlike other data center projects that are causing some controversy in other parts of the state, namely in Birmingham, mm-hmm. this one, there is no request for any kind of abatements or incentives or 30-year things that... You know, that tie a property tax up. You know what I'm talking about. There's no incentive. Yes, there's no multi-year incentives. I did receive some revenue projections. Now, there's a lot of caveats involved here. These are projections only. These are not definitive numbers. But the projections indicate that it would be a significant financial windfall to both Mobile County and Mobile County Public School Systems. In particular, with regards to the ongoing property tax infusion to both the county and the schools. You're talking somewhere around $50 million per year. And to kind of put that in a context, I looked at the fiscal year 2025 budget figures for Mobile County, the county government. The total I could find there was about $92 million in property tax collections. You'll be adding an additional potentially $49 million on top of that. That is a significant windfall, and that would be per year. But then you're also talking about the sales tax benefits.
You don't think about
well.
That. If we go back, I just and people can read in the story, but you say $49 million a year in new county property tax revenue. That's
correct.
I don't know what else. There's probably nothing else in Mobile County. Maybe I'm wrong, that generates $49 million a year in property tax.
Well, that's what the co-founder and executive vice president of Beacon Data Centers, that's what his quote in my story basically says. It's likely will be one of the largest, you know, he's very cautious there, so it's likely will be one of the largest single taxpayers in Mobile County. At that amount, it'd be hard to find one that maybe tops, but you always want to caution, say, one of the largest. But that's a huge windfall for the county. And, of course, the school system as well. And then you're talking on top of that, you're talking about a sales tax revenues be going to the state and county governments as well, roughly about $1.5 billion over the course of two decades. So that's a significant amount of money as well. This is just one data center project now in the state of Alabama. I know there's been a lot of debates about the environmental impacts, the true costs and benefits of these facilities. I don't think we've gotten too deep. I know there's been some national stories in other states that have dived into the revenues coming back to public to the local governments, and that's caught some attention. I think in Virginia, for instance, there was a project there that it's again a big windfall to the local government agencies. But we haven't seen too much of these kind of stories here in Alabama yet, so it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is on this. There is a small group of folks that are opposed to this project. They're getting together this evening in Mount Vernon. There's a public meeting at 6 p.m. to discuss, what they can do going forward. I think they feel like there's not much they can do. Largely because a couple of weeks ago at the Mobile County Commission meeting, the Mobile County officials said, we can't vote on a moratorium. We don't have zoning authority.
Right.
We really don't have any recourse as a county government to do much of anything. You see this, that cities have, they have more of that home rule authority to go forward and try and, have a temporary moratorium potentially. I know Pritchard's discussing that right now, but although I have a request out on how much revenue that facility might generate, and we all know Pritchard could use, money's a huge thing for that community. So,
gotta hire some police officers. Yeah, I mean, and on the county side, the conversation I had with the commissioner, he said, we do what the state says. It comes out of Montgomery, the policy, we just have to implement it.
That's correct. Yeah, county government, largely in the state of Alabama, does not have home much rule. Authority over zoning. Yeah, home rule. They don't have the zoning authority like you see in some other states, but that's just the way it's always been here in Alabama. So it's, yeah, he's correct. And that's, kind of where we're at. Although, interestingly, the county commission, they're holding, usually they may meet on Mondays. They're meeting this week tomorrow, and they're going to have... They're going to have some folks come in and discuss the project a little bit further. So they're going to, they want to keep the discussion going about the project, not just ignore the residents' concerns. I think there were some concerns that, perhaps, residents came, they spoke their, they spoke like a lot of folks throughout the country. The data centers are not polling well right now. There's a lot of negativity towards them. There's a lot of this NIMBY concern, especially in rural areas of the country, including Alabama. So folks are showing up and they're wanting to raise concerns to their local government officials. And then in this case, in Mobile County, it was kind of like, well, there's not much we can do. And I don't think that sat well with some of the residents. So they're going to, Commissioner Connie Hudson, she's the commission president. She's invited representatives with utility representatives, is my understanding. I'm not sure exactly who's coming, but they're going to be at the meeting tomorrow to answer some of these questions that are out there about the potential effects of this facility, when it comes to water consumption and electricity. I don't think it's going to be as impactful as perhaps data centers of the past have been, but I think there are those concerns, and I don't think there's anything wrong with having more of a public conversation about a $6 billion project, of which there hasn't been a huge public discussion about yet, especially when data centers are in the news nationwide.
For sure. I come back to the sales tax portion of that. You're right here. Expected to generate roughly $1.5 billion in sales tax revenue for the state and county governments over the next two decades. Okay. So the sales tax comes from Anthropic or somebody buys space? Because, like, we've had the discussion on the show, the data centers they're warehouses. They're storage units, right? They're building out because these companies need it for expansion, for, duplicating, for whatever. So with the sales tax, I don't know if you know this. I mean, I guess the sales tax, if I sell you, if you're Sam Altman, okay, for a second, you're Sam Altman, and you come to me, Sean Sullivan Industries, and you buy that amount of storage, is that the exchange that the sales tax is figured on, I guess?
I think it's more than that.
Okay.
The chamber had indicated that the projections based on an initial, what they call, $25 billion investment in technology and hardware. So that's pretty broad-based, but that's, you know, kind of the guts that go into the facility, I guess you could say. And then along with another $10 billion in refreshing that upgrade, you know, investments to upgrade that, you know, because we're in an era where tech changes all the time. So they're talking about several refreshers, they call it, every 4 years, I believe it is, over the course of 20 years. And so that would be another $10 billion on top of that. So it's what you're building out the data center and then purchasing the hardware that goes into it and the technology that goes into it. I'll be honest with you, I've never been inside one, so I don't know exactly all the nooks and crannies with it. It'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah, we had a pretty good discussion. I can send you a link. I had John Hill from Ascension Technologies on. He built the one. He was part. I mean, like he did. He was part of the build of the RSA's data center. And he kind of went through it with us on Friday, like how you set up the stuff and the cooling systems and all that kind of nerd stuff. I liked it. You probably like it too.
Yeah. But these things are, these are going to be huge campuses that are, you know, there's going to be a lot to them. So, you know, you're talking about every so many years, and they call it refresh cycles, which is going to be additional expenditures. They upgrade the facility. So that all buys into this. And again, it's an estimate. You know, there's no hard, I mean, you don't know how many times this facility is going to need to be refreshed over the course of 20 years. It could be every 2 years. We don't know yet. Artificial intelligence and where we're at right now is very fluid. So this is just a projection, and these were the projections that the chamber provided. But and also keep in mind, I think other things to note on this is that Beacon officials are projecting about 1,000 construction jobs on this project and 250 permanent positions. So this isn't, I believe the project in Pritchard was about 90 permanent positions, but this is 250 permanent positions with an average annual salary of $115,000 a year. So these aren't low-paying jobs. Now, whether or not they're all local-based jobs or if they're, you know, bringing folks in from another state or another country, I'm not totally sure, but, you know, that's kind of where things are at right now with this project.
You know, looking at, you mentioned at the beginning here, different than the story up in Birmingham. I want to point out that the reason this data center is moving in is because of RFK Jr., his fight against, you know, snack foods, golden flake potato, as Eli Gold used to say, golden flake potato chips. They're selling part of their factory there in Birmingham to a AI, right, or to a data center.
Yes. That's, I believe that's the latest on that, but, I do that. There are tax incentives involved. They're not, I mean, you know, that, you know, I don't have those figures in front of me at the moment, but they are. Oh yeah, the $36 billion Nebius data center is what it is. But there are tax incentives involved in that project, and I think that's caused some consternation up there as well. And then keep in mind, there's some politics at play right now. We're starting to see some politicians, namely Senator Tuberville, come out and say, you know, be supportive of data centers. That's based on some positive comments from President Donald Trump. But it puts the Republicans also in a sticky situation. You know, data centers have been, you know, you see the polling, it's 60% or higher that, you know, negativity right mm-hmm. now towards data centers. So that's a struggle right there. That's an obstacle or maybe a goal that Republicans need to take a look at, that's, you know, that they see the financial benefits of data centers. Well, you got to sell it to the public now. You know, and a lot of the public, these are going in rural areas throughout the state of Alabama, throughout the country. Those are a lot of Republican voters as well. So, you know, there's some sticky politics involved there as well, but we'll see how time plays on this particular issue.
Absolutely. Y'all check the story out over at AL.com, or if they were to find you in the meantime, how they find you on the socials.
Yeah, at JohnSharp99 and ignore the podcast.
It's not really John. Be good, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks.
125, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
What's that old saying? If it's good, too good to be true, then it's probably not true. Period.
There it is. Michael chiming in using the talkback feature. And the numbers, I don't know. It's pretty heady numbers here. Let me get a couple texts here. Just got a second or two here before the news. We'll come back and grab calls as well at 251-343-0106. Let's see. The Sexer says, please bring data centers to Loxley. We need two of them in Loxley, please. Supermom, was NIMBY a term before Borch? Did he coin that? I don't know. NIMBY, you know, the acronym for not in my backyard. Maybe it existed, but the Talkmaster made it famous, right? I have not heard a peep about Neil Borch in a long time. He's always a big fan. Rock and Roll Doctor said, where did the data centers get their income from? Can John give us examples of data center clients? Who owns the center's legal name? The legal name of who owns it, that we talked about on the show last week, Beacon, like B-E-A-C-O-N. They own this one, but there's different companies doing it. What their customers are anybody who needs space. I mean, this may be overly simplified, but the way I think about it is you build out storage units or warehouses, and then the people that need that space come put their junk in your storage unit or your warehouse, right? So this Beacon people, they're just building here we go. We got this, you know, available for rent, the storage here. And the companies that need it use that. But, a lot of text, and we'll get to the phones as well. 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy David at LCM Motor Cars. Mr. McQuarrie, it sounds like from the background noise, y'all are buying right now. It sounds like I'm hearing an auction.
We're trying our best. I bought five so far, so hopefully we'll buy a truckload today and a couple of truckloads tomorrow and have some fresh inventory for us towards the end of the week.
Now, you're at this point, I mean, I know it's kind of always okay time, but if somebody has something in particular they're looking for, then maybe a good time to call you.
Absolutely, yeah. Pick up the phone, give us a call right now, 251-375-0068. I got a BMW I'm trying to find for one of my wife's friends and some other stuff we're looking at for some other customers. So they're out there. We just got to go get them.
Okay. Tell them how to find you online and in person.
Online, it's lcmmotorcars.com. You can communicate with us through that. You can pull Carfax and everything else, as you well know, or you give us a call, 251-375-0068. Come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation, exit 15A off I-10. 1 mile south of I-10.
Good stuff. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. It's kind of fun hearing him doing the auction while we're talking. No way to do the thing where you go, hey, and then he ended up buying the vehicle that he didn't want to buy. But I tried. All right. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's go to Derek up first. Hey, Derek.
All right. Tell Dalton I'm sorry. All right. So
just in general?
Conversation backwards.
Just
He caught it. Okay, I'm going to say this. We're having the conversation backwards, okay? I've tried to say this before. You know, me and my child are studying behavioral economics, and this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Give me a second here to go through this. I watch Bloomberg every single morning, okay? My customer base, that's who they are. You guys are the trees voting for the axe. They say every day what they are doing. You are being replaced. They talk about the number of jobs that they're going to save every day. If there was a future for a human being with AI, do you think they would be having tech layoffs at the magnitude that they are?
Of course not. But are you going to stop
IBM,
that? Are you going to
think Intel? Okay, so it's all BS. They are not. They tell you the plan. You are being replaced. So all this money that they're dangling in front of you is irrelevant. All this.
Wait. Hold a second. Hey, motion to speak here, Derek. If you think that's going to stop, Brandon. If they don't. Second, do you think that's going to stop if they don't build the one in Calvert?
No, it's a nationwide thing. It's just that you guys, they would, if Alabama was ever the state of Dare Defend Our Rights, there will be no jobs, Sean. There will be no, what, is everybody going to just work with AI? Is that the plan?
The plan is like I tell
you. Are we all just going to be plumbers and electricians?
Well,
is that the plan?
If you sweat,
there it is.
If you sweat at your job.
Socialism,
yeah. I mean, but how are you going to stop it?
I sweat my job every day.
Yeah, so you're safe. But how are you going to stop it?
Very brutally is what you're going to have to do. Because, look, if this is a good idea, then the Democrats opening the border was a better one. Do you see what I'm getting at? You are being replaced.
Yeah, but how do you stop that?
They tell you every day what they're going to do.
You're not news flashing me, Derek. I'm aware of that. We've talked about it before,
okay.
But what are you going to do to, just fighting the data center that's coming in is not going to stop it. And honestly, I don't think people were talking about this like, oh, well, you know, they'll replace the jobs. Now, it's not. There's going to be a net loss of jobs. Well, I've been talking for all these years, even the UBI conversations, I think are fair to have here. There's going to be a lot of jobs that aren't needed. It's not like it's going to open up something new. But it's coming. And from a national sense, what they'll say is, well, you won't let China lead on this? You want China's going to have it?
And
we won't have
that.
It.
Y'all keep saying that.
Don't y'all
keep
me. I don't y'all. I have no membership card for y'all.
What's coming? That's the part that you have to, that nobody is. It's all about things. But what is coming? See, there's these definitions. You know, what is coming? It's going to be, what's coming? It's going to be AI. It's going to be algorithms. Okay, so you're not going to have a choice. Right now we deal with the illusion of choice. I'm going to show you a card trick one day. Right now it's the illusion of choice. It's going to get even worse. Right now they're going to use AI in school. That's what Tommy's talking about, right? Can you even trust AI as it is? So now we're going to use this on our children. None of this ends good. None of it.
So how do you stop it? Derek, how do you stop it? I mean, globally. I'm not talking about in Calvin.
I know. Right now, you're having to push more towards, this new thing with the kids is the Luddites. We're getting hit with so much that they're going backwards. Now, they don't want, I don't know who. Find one person that enjoys the AI that we have now. Find one person that enjoys all this technology that's being thrown at them every single damn day. Everything is online. Everything is as easy as it's supposed to be.
Okay, so then everybody could refuse to use it. If you refuse to use it, you would shut it down, right? If everybody refused.
But no, it's an illusion of choice. Illusion of choice. You can try to refuse to use it, but there's not going to be any other way but to use it. We had this conversation you said the other day, opting out. The chances of opting out of anything is now slowly closing. That's what we're having this conversation backwards. They're building this world, whether you like it or not. That's the consensus. I have never in my life seen any society just choose defeat. It's coming. It's come. Trump says, well, you can fight it, but it's coming. And I'm just like, well, what's coming? I feel like that fourth cattle gate is closing and all of America is accepting it. And they were having this boogeyman thrown as, well, China, China, China. You're like, dude, I don't have a problem with China. China makes cheap stuff. I can't afford anything else. So what the world, you've got a child. Our children are the same age. What is he going to do, Sean? Is it going to be a plumber? Is it going to be an electrician?
Well, we got a welder.
Thank God we own everything we have.
Yeah, we got a welder for Christmas, so that puts it there. So we're working on welding because I think that'll be something. I appreciate it, and I will put you down as undecided. But thank you, Derek. I always appreciate your calls. Let's go to, let's see here. And next one up. Unnamed texter. These projections are just a sales pitch. There's plenty of data storage in the U.S. There's plenty of data centers already. Alabama doesn't need them. We all know it's for It's for surveillance. Let's call it what it is. Yeah, first of all, so this is interesting. You don't think there's need, like they're build, are they building, so Texter, I mean, this is, that there's plenty of data storage. So they building because nothing's going to be put there, or is it expansion and surveillance? What, because we didn't talk about the surveillance state. That's a fair conversation. Derek and I've had that before. But the one thing I think about the data centers, I do wonder if they're going to end up being like malls, right, that have a bunch of empty places in them, is, and I'm not purporting to be any kind of expert on it. I'm interested in it. I've asked some very smart friends of mine to explain it in regular language to me, but quantum computing and what it can do and the reduction of just like square footage needed, when does that hit? And you have like, if you needed whatever, these campuses, they call them now campuses. Why are we calling them campuses? But whatever these buildings are, that they need X number of square feet, maybe substantially reduced with quantum computing. So I don't know. Texture goes on to say Alabama doesn't need them. We all know it's for surveillance. Let's call it what it is. Name me three Alabama businesses that need more AI or duplications or whatever you just said. No, I don't think it's Alabama businesses. I think it's, no, I mean, it's Anthropic and at all in that. I don't think it's Alabama businesses. All right. Bill said something overlooked with the data center projects is the eminent domain risk. Will we be seeing lots of stories of people losing property to make way for power lines being run through our land and homes for a center hundreds of miles away? Interesting. I don't know, Bill. Have said that the current infrastructure can handle the energy load. I mean, I'm not here to vouch for them. Rick says, John Sharp, a show for data centers. You be the judge. Well, then I am too, I guess, Rick. Like, anytime I have an opinion that goes against what everybody else says, I love it. So I'll go to social media. So Sean's getting big money from, I'm not getting any money from them. I'm getting paid. Whatever the subject is, it cracks me up. He's doing this because you're getting, it's like my, about the solar farm. I'm just saying that was, you know, loblolly pine land. I mean, it's silviculture land. It's not like it was a pristine, there's, oh, that means he's in bed. I'm not in bed with him. I mean, if you've heard me ever, does it sound like I'm a shill for Alabama Power? No. And then Rick goes on to say, my question is, who's providing power for the data center? That, I think it's Alabama Power there. I think the water was South Alabama Utilities. I think I got that right. And Alabama Power on the power side. Bucky Beaver says, if my memory serves me correctly, it was a lot of pushback against the automobile versus horses, I think. There probably was, but in deference to this conversation like I was just having with Derek, AI, and this, we will have a net loss of jobs. This is true. It's not this whole, I mean, as technology's improved, you're always going, okay, well, new jobs will come up. There's some jobs that just won't be there. You don't need the number of people to run the AI. I mean, there's going to be a net loss of jobs. You know, it's just, Maximus says possibly decaf for Derek. All right. Coming back, it's time for a checkup. Kirstie Austin joins me coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and it's time for a checkup, and joining us, it's Kirstie Austin with Alta Point Health, a professional counselor. Good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, this is a subject, oddly enough, ripped from my headlines in my brain. This is about burnout.
Yeah. Okay,
the term burnout. So people say, well, I feel burned out right now, or I'm feeling some burnout here. What does that actually mean?
So burnout is whenever the day-to-day stress, your busy week, so you're dealing with work, you're dealing with home life, you're dealing with community things, when that stress becomes more than just daily stress. So if you're going to bed at night and you're not able to get that rest and you're not able to shut your brain off and really get wake up in the morning and feeling refreshed, that's when we're going to start noticing that burnout. Like, okay, what part of our lives are becoming more stressful than we can handle day to day?
Okay, so it's the stuff that keeps you up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the, you know, the burnout too? I think about people, is it, I call it the Sunday nights where people go, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Monday.
So we're going to extend that a little bit more. So everybody kind of has those Sunday blues where they're like, oh gosh, we got to get up and start that work day, right? Well, it's whenever those Sunday blues become every day of the week. So every day you're dreading getting up. Every day you don't want to do not only your job, but maybe your home life things too. That's whenever we start worrying and start thinking like, okay, maybe we really are starting to experience burnout.
But, Kirstie, this is like on a spectrum, though, right? Because, I mean, that, you're describing something, all of us kind of, well, there's, I'm sure there's exceptions out there. I'll hear from y'all later. But most of us get the Sunday blues or whatever. That's one level versus not wanting to do anything is the other level. There's a range there, right, between the alpha and omega on that.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit where we can actually kind of get those early warning signs of where burnout is coming in. So whenever you think about going to bed at night and are you able to go to sleep rather quickly, right, for your normal self, are you able to wake up in the morning and feel rested? Like, okay, I actually got rest last night. I'm actually feeling a little bit better than whenever I went to bed. Are we noticing that maybe we're having headaches more frequently? Is our body more tense than it normally is? Are all of these things adding up?
So it's a cumulative thing.
It's a cumulative. So stress is going to happen, right? We're going to have stressful work weeks. We're going to have stressful things that happen at home. We have kids. We have other family members that we have to take care of. We have community that we have to take care of. So stress is normal. But whenever that stress, when you're not able to do the things that you normally enjoy, so whenever you're not able to go outside and enjoy the outdoors, or if you like to paint or listen to music, and you start being able to no longer rest or relax, that's when we're kind of getting over into the, this is not daily and normal stress. This is things that we should be concerned about that can lead to bigger issues, because burnout is just the beginning. Burnout is the beginning of where we start worrying about, okay, now we're getting into anxiety. Now we're getting into depression. Now we're getting into the things that we really should start paying attention to for those early warning signs.
So burnout, a precursor to those you just listed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. But it is different than just daily stress, but it's this next level. Because some people say, yeah, you have a sleepless night every once in a while. That's
right.
That's normal.
So but your indicators should be, yeah, how many nights a week are you not getting rest? So if you're not getting rest more than four nights a week, we need to look at an overall picture.
Wow. And you're talking about the people affected by who, like, I mean, I know everybody could probably be affected by this, but like who do you look at for, like, what groups?
So we have our top three. So we have our healthcare workers, we have our teachers and our first responders. So those are our three large groups where we really get concerned about burnout. As a clinician, though, another layer of that we also really like to pay attention to is who are our caregivers? So people who have children, people who take care of elderly family members. Caregivers are not necessarily statistically a part of that group where we really are like kind of red flag. But clinicians pay attention closely because just because work is not burning you out doesn't mean that your home life isn't burning you out.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, you said something there, too. There's a lot of people listening to us right now. The taking care of older relative and taking care of children applies, that they're like at this point in their life that they still have parents or a parent left that they're working with. At the same time, they got kids that, you know, are pulling on their pants, you know, going, hey, I need you too.
Right. So can you go to work? And this is a question that you can ask yourself. Can you go to work and not have that stress of home, kids, whoever you're caring for at home? Can you go to work and cut that off and get your job done? If you go to work and you can't get your job done because of everything that's going on at home, you're bringing that stress into work. That's another sign that we should be paying attention and seeking out help at this point.
Okay, so hey, people are listening to you, Kirstie, right now going, okay. So what do they do in this, like, they recognize some of these things. So give us some direction here.
The first thing I'm going to tell you to do is seek professional help. That's what we're here for. AltaPoint has great resources. We have awesome therapists, and burnout is super preventable. We can provide you with all of the coping skills and tools that you need.
You're saying you can fix it?
Yeah. It's probably the easiest thing to fix by just a couple of small things that we can teach you to incorporate into your life.
And this doesn't involve, hey, quit your job and block your children and your elderly parents' phone number?
No, it does not.
Okay,
at
just
all.
Check it.
So something that, you know, my first advice is always going to be seek professional help. You know, call AltaPoint's Access to Care line, our 251-450-2211. Let's get you set up. Let's get you seeing a therapist. If you're like, okay, I'm not really sure if I'm ready for that step yet. Like, do I really need to see a therapist? I just kind of want you to ask yourself these questions, you know, kind of internally ask yourself these questions. How often do you drink water a day?
Okay, I'm writing this down. Okay.
And then how often do you go see outside and see the sun?
Okay.
All right. So then my next question is, how often are you interacting with a living creature? So not just humans, but anything living. Are you
like
taking care of animals, pets, things like that? And then the very last question I want you to ask yourself is, how much time are you setting aside to rest? And if you can't answer all four of those questions, call us.
Okay.
So we can help you answer those questions. Well,
good, because a lot of us need a benchmark to go, hey, it's time. All right. And once again, they can reach out to you at the line, they can call or to set up an appointment. What do they, I mean, if they call, do they say, I'm burned out? I mean, what am I supposed to say? Am I burned out? Is that what?
Yeah, you can call it. You can call our Access to Caroline. You're like, hey, I am feeling burnout. I feel like I need some help with that. How can we help you? And our phone line will get you directed and set up with where you need to be set up.
Very interesting conversation. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's Kirstie Austin, licensed professional counselor with AltaPoint Health.